Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning. Tune is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. So many ways to take us in. We're just grateful that you choose one of them. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Circa. What's happening, man?
Not much.
What are you doing? You're doing a little Arsenio.
Just trying to get us pumped before the show, you know?
Yeah.
We got a full crew back there, a lot of people back in the control room.
You sense that they are not fully engaged? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know what? There's fully engaged, and then there's my level. Get on my level. Everybody get on my level, okay?
after the criticism you took yesterday
that's
for
right.
not being.
Yeah, that's right.
I'd say Kelly's, the pendulum has swung too far for Kelly then. Teasers later on the show today. Do we have to do teasers? You know, here's the thing. We've done teasers of the NFL on the Megapod this year. Last year, the three of us were like, I think in the 18 weeks, we all do 1 6-point two-leg teaser. I want to say we were 13-5, 13-5, and 12-6 or something like that. This year, we are in the first, 6 weeks of the season?
Well, this is fascinating because on the pod, you guys, this is a staple, so you have to do it.
We have to do them.
Regardless of whether you're betting or
not. We have painted ourselves into a corner for doing these. Now, our you know, straight up against the spread best bet records, totals or, pardon me, not just sides, but also totals, we're doing credibly. But on the teasers, we are an impossible collective. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
2-16, I believe.
That's incredible. I do think that is a good example, though, of what teaser betting has been like this year.
Yes.
I think for a lot of us that like betting teasers, we have dialed back big time.
Oh my
But I got
God.
Beat. I got beat up by them in the early weeks too. But there's a lot. There's a lot of Wong options this week. That's why I wanted to talk.
The Wongers, especially the favorite Wongers, have been killing people.
Yes.
By the way, Jacksonville Jaguars were the culprit this past week. Not a favorite, but still got us in London. Was Jacksonville the favorite again? No, they were not.
They moved to the favorite.
So we'll do teasers. We'll give it a stab later. Jason Weingarten on Major League Baseball postseason. Tyler Shoemaker talking WNBA and college football with us. A couple great matchups in college football this weekend as well. And JVT will join us. Not listed. Jonathan Von Tobel, our NBA senior analyst. We're going to talk NBA season win totals today. You will chime in as well.
That's right. We got Win Totals Wednesday is coming up here just in about 45 minutes. So we'll get to that. Yep. JVT and myself will kind of go over our favorite win totals with the NBA season set to start a week from tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mark Borchardt is what I meant to say. Coming up to talk Major League Baseball with us. Our NFL power rankings, which I don't know if they shifted much at all. But we'll get into that as well. And the Win Total Wednesday is going to be fascinating. Again, the NBA season starts in exactly 1 week, or excuse me, 6 days now. And the Celtics are your top season win total. The Brooklyn Nets are your very bottom season win total.
Yep.
Just edging out the Washington Wizards, who did the horrific act of trading Denny Avdia, which they should never be forgiven for. So there you go. We'll find out what JVT and Kelly have on that. First, I do have a tennis match, a rare.
Okay.
You know, post. So the ladies are still in Asia. The men have now shifted to indoor hards. This is a really weird time of the tennis calendar. They're on indoor hard courts now in Europe. My outdoor hard court numbers somehow, I don't know if they don't translate as well to indoors or if it's just the weird time of year. But one match has not started for sure. That is, I'm on, and these are all at VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every sport, it's all at VSiN.com/picks throughout the VSiN day. That's for subscribers. This is in Antwerp, Belgium, Kelly. A little later on this morning.
Not Stockholm.
No. Antwerp, Belgium. I'm on Martin Fucsovics. Right now, he's plus 178 against Felix Auger-Aliassime. I had him last night at plus 197. So it's 20 cents worse. But when you get up in those kind of numbers, it's not that bad in terms of the movement. So I would still play it at plus 178. Fucsovics, that's spelled F-U-C-S. Well, see what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
F-U-C-S OVICS, Martin Fucsovics, a little later on against Felix Auger-Aliassime in Antwerp. There is one that should be starting right about now. I don't know if it has started, but this one is in Kazakhstan, in Almaty, Kazakhstan. It may have started already, though. That was Aslan Karatsev. I think that is
started. What do you got? Three ATP events going on right now?
You got three indoor hardcourt ATP events. Then you have two WTA, still outdoor, events in Osaka and Ningbo.
Hugo Gaston's going soon in Antwerp. I'm pretty sure he was from Beauty and the Beast.
I don't think that checks out. Yeah. Last night, Major League Baseball lost on the Guardians. 6-3 Yankees beat the Guardians to take a 2-0 lead in their best of seven American League Championship Series. And this one, what can I say about the handicap? I didn't handicap two Guardians errors that would lead the Yankees runs. That's where it started. It really started early. First inning, Brian Rocchio just drops a fly ball in the infield, which the wind took. And Rocchio, usually a sure-handed fielder, he drops that. That leads to a first Yankees run. Will Brennan would commit an error in right field later for a fourth Yankees run. In fairness, the Yankees committed base-running blunders as well a little later that could have given them a couple runs. Jazz Chisholm being caught off second base. Jazz Chisholm, who was dressed for Antarctica in 48-degree weather Fahrenheit in New York City.
He was also very certain he got back to that bag.
He's always certain he gets back to the bag, so to speak. And then Anthony Rizzo caught in a rundown between second and third, which Yankees announcer John Sterling later referred to as, that's the Yankees. They're like drunks on the base paths. But the Yankees get it done 6-3. The cosmetic score at the end, a two-run jack from Judge, then a solo shot from Jose Ramirez to close out the scoring. So the Yankees get it done. They hold serve, if you will, at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. Today, it is Game 3 of the Mets and the Dodgers. Game 3 of the Mets and the Dodgers. That series knotted up in the National League at one game apiece. It is going to be, once again, we talked about this yesterday a little bit, Severino against Bueller. And the Mets are, a few pennies went the Dodgers way in this matchup, of all things.
Caught this morning.
With Bueller really being the poorer of the two performers, if you will, this year. Walker Bueller at one point was the Dodgers ace. I know people always thought it was Kershaw, but at one point it was Walker Bueller. Not so much anymore. So game three at Citi Field tonight in Queens, as we are, who knows? Are we headed to a Subway Series? Well, the Mets will have a lot to say about it tonight. That's game three of that series. Tomorrow we have a doubleheader, by the way, where the Yankees and the Guardians will play in the afternoon in Cleveland at Progressive Field, where the Guardians try to get off the schneid. That one's going to be Schmidt going for the Yankees and TBD for the Guardians. We don't know yet for the Cleveland Guardians tomorrow. That's a coin flip at this point. I believe that's the early game tomorrow, isn't it? And then the nightcap tomorrow is game four of the Mets and the Dodgers. Obviously, one of those two teams, Mets and Dodgers, will have a 2-1 lead at that point. That is scheduled to be Yamamoto against Quintana for game four of that series. So we will have a doubleheader tomorrow no matter what. We will have a doubleheader no matter what on Friday as well, which will be game four of the ALCS, game five of the NLCS. After that, it's all an if necessary at this point. Would be one game on Saturday. The ALCS would continue one game if necessary. The NLCS would continue on Sunday. And then we potentially would have another doubleheader on Monday.
That game tonight, just going back to that line, that was opposite yesterday, right? Mets were like -115, right? Dodgers -105?
The Mets were -108 yesterday. A bit of a favorite. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, I'm just looking at some shops. They're down to even money at some of the shops here.
And then there's we were on air yesterday when Devontae Adams got traded to the New York Jets by the Raiders for a conditional third that could end up being a second round pick if Devontae hits a certain amount of thresholds there. We weren't on the air for what happened later. The Jets AFC East rival Buffalo Bills, coming off their win against the Jets, they then traded for Amari Cooper of the Browns. So the Jets bolster their wide receiving core with Devontae, and then the Bills come right back and bolster theirs with Amari Cooper. And so now, by the way, this is what we talked about the Bills in the offseason. This is what they needed, right? The loss of Stephon Diggs, people could have dismissed that, and I get it. Some Bills fans were happy to see Stephon go for reasons not necessarily on the football field. They just didn't like what the locker room presence that he was, or the guy that always wanted the ball.
Yep.
But one of the things I pointed out was Marquez Valdes-Scantling was not the answer to spreading the field. Maybe a 30-year-old Amari Cooper is. That's what the Bills need, so that then Allen can have that much more space to go to Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid underneath.
I think at least on the outside, it gives them a man coverage beater. Amari Cooper's great on those slant patterns, great getting up the field there. So I think that will be big. I don't know if they've had that on the outside this year.
Does it change your outlook for this division? Again, we talked about this for the game the other night. Does that Bills win change what you thought about either team? Do these trades change the bigger picture for you? The Bills season win total, adjusted season win total, is 11.5. That is a far cry from everybody else in that division. The Jets are at 8.5 right now. Remember, they're 2-4 currently. So to beat the 8.5, you know, they'd have to go, 7-5 the rest of the way to beat that. Dolphins are at 7.5, which to me is a bit generous.
Yeah.
And then the Patriots are 4.5. Still, the Patriots are right around where they were pre-flop. But one of these teams is not created like the others, and that has so much to do with just one singular human, and that's Josh Allen. But do these trades in any way change that sort of gap for you?
But they both got better yesterday, right?
I think so.
I think the AFC big picture is kind of the more interesting conversation to me, because who do you want to put in that top tier of the AFC, right? Ravens are probably up there for most people, Chiefs, and then who comes next? I think that's where have the Bills put themselves up there in that conversation. I don't know. I think they're still probably a notch behind those couple teams and the Texans. The Jets are, it's fascinating. It is fascinating because I think they're a disaster right now. Like, I can't get behind betting them. Do I think Devontae Adams will make a significant difference? I think he could.
I don't know that he could. I don't know that he can, though, because, what version of him are we getting? He wasn't that spectacular the last time we saw him. It's not like he's demanding double coverage. Will it help the Jets? It can't. I don't think it can hurt.
Right.
But I actually think Cooper to the Bills is a bigger deal, and I think it makes the gap even wider in the AFC East. Just my sort of like instant feedback on that. We'll get other people's impressions on it a little later on. Mark Borchardt on the Major League Baseball postseason, though, on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circus, Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Joe C714. Glad I took a glance at the tennis picks at VSiN.com/picks last night for the Ito. That's Aoi Ito. She cashed as a +243 dog. Thanks, Gil. You are welcome. She did so in her match last night against Cocciaretto. We also had her at very north of $2 in her win the other night as well. And this is from Lancer T. You can still get Fucsovics at +194 at FanDuel. Remember when we had to call it Advocate Skirmish?
FanDuel. Yeah, those days are over.
Yeah, Fucsovics.
Thanks, Lancer.
So thank you, Lancer, for that. FanDuel's got the best number still on Fucsovics. By the way, again, all of these, this is rare that at this time of year we get to talk about these in advance on the show, but always they are available at VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. And you can sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. Get your first year for only $199 just by using promo code ANG. Full access to everything we do, including all of those daily best bets, top rated betting systems, 24/7 video access, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, plus our all new NBA betting guide, baby. I don't know why I said baby at the end, but it's very exciting. Remember to use promo code ANG.
I'll throw one in too, Gil. Oh, baby, it's promo code ANG. Go there right now. Get some savings. Get the NBA guide and much, much more. All the plays and everything at VSiN.com.
That's better. You did better. First year of VSiN Pro Access for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Let's talk some baseball with our buddy Mark Borchardt. You can follow him on Twitter at BaseWinner. BaseWinner.com, of course, is where he does his thing. Also, the BetUS baseball show, which he does every day of the week except for this day. This is day off, and he's kind enough to join us, just for old time's sake, from an undisclosed location in the desert, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Mark Borchardt, everybody. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing good. You know, times have changed. We were used to, back in 2008, I think, be the only guys talking about analytics, and now you can watch the DataCast. Gil, I don't know if you caught any of that.
I did not.
It's on True TV. It's really cool. If you guys are into numbers and they have like pitch probability and, oh, it's great. It's just, it's eye candy, it's stat candy all game long. And it's on, I can tell you the channel, but that doesn't do you any good. But I believe it's True TV. It's so they have the main feed on TBS for the American League, and then they go to this Datacast. And I mean, gosh, once I saw that, I fell in love.
Fell in love.
What's True TV up to these days? They're just doing all alternate broadcast and then just like Impractical Jokers for the rest of the day?
Impractical Jokers until the first day of March Madness. And then you can turn back to True TV.
Okay.
No. Thank you for that recommendation. I will check it out. I just want to say this also for a more mainstream thing. The post-game show, I don't know about anything else pre, but the post-game show that TBS does with Pedro Martinez, Jimmy Rollins, this year it's Dusty Baker as well, and I think Curtis Granderson is there as well, but he doesn't chime in as often. But Pedro and Jimmy Rollins and Dusty, they are phenomenal. That post-game show, to me, is as good as any in any sport, and I think it's like super underrated. I don't think I hear people talking about it, as opposed to, by the way, the much more, you know, big-name one on Fox with Derek Jeter and Big Papi and, of course, A-Rod, which I don't think is nearly as insightful. Have you caught either of those?
I saw a little bit of J-Roll, they used to call back Alex Karras. He's not Alex, he's Harry Callis. I get him confused.
That's
but
right.
He would refer to Rollins as J-Roll. And oh God, I love the way he did it. He was really good. No, I agree with you, Gil, on that.
He's awesome. Okay. As far as tonight's game is concerned, game three, we go to Queens, Citi Field. The Mets and the Dodgers tied at one game apiece. The Dodgers' streak of holding opponents scoreless snapped at 33 innings, which matched the record. But, man, did that come crashing back down to earth in a bullpen game. And so the Mets now, even though there had some dicey moments in that game, they built a 6-0 lead and they held on in game two. So it's tied at one apiece. This is Walker Buehler against Luis Severino. And interestingly, overnight, the Dodgers took a little bit of money. I'm curious how you see this.
I see this game right at about -115. I don't really see the money change personally. I think these teams are a lot more even than you would think. And if you're just looking at stuff plus, Gil, Severino's almost in the 90th percentile. He's in the 89th percentile. His stuff plus is defined or analyzed or calculated by The Athletic, and they look at 11 different inputs from the pitch, break, spin rate, that sort of thing, velocity change. And then Buehler's in the 28th percentile, so almost in the lower quartile, and that would go along with Buehler's low strikeout percentage, which is 16.9%, the median of his last 17 starts. So there's some concerning things with Buehler. I think that, like, to the eye, if you watched him pitch his particularly the last innings he pitched versus the Padres, he looks better than that. But I mean, based on the metrics, I think that the advantage definitely goes to the Mets from a starting pitching standpoint, Gil.
To the Mets. That's what I would have assumed you said. Tomorrow, let's stick with this series. Tomorrow, it's going to be game four, and we know the pitching matchup. We know it's Yamamoto against Quintana. I would imagine you feel differently about that one.
Yeah, I would go with Yamo B there, because, I mean, he really, for me, his metrics are so much better than Quintana. And plus, I think that, like, sometimes you have to just think about it subjectively, and I get into the numbers probably as deep as anybody gets, but when you just watch the guy pitch, how he can control the zone or have the batters off balance, and I think that's really hard with all the metrics and the stuff plus and location plus, all that stuff, it's still hard to get the human interpretation of that. And when I watch him pitch, it's just, I mean, I can't tell you the human emotion that I get when I watch him pitch. It's amazing watching that guy pitch. So I'm really looking forward to him being there, Gil.
Okay, we don't have a pitching matchup. We know Schmidt's going for the Yankees tomorrow in game three. We don't have a pitcher yet for the Guardians. I'm curious about the series prices, the adjusted series prices as they stand right now. Dodgers and Mets tied at one game apiece. Dodgers are -155 to win the series at DraftKings. Mets are +130 on the comeback. And then obviously with the Yankees up 2-0 in their best of seven ALCS. Do you have any interest in the Guardians at +550 at all? Either one of those interests you?
Well, I think from a pricing standpoint, I can just give you the probabilities that I have. I've got the Guardians 13.8% on this series, and then the Yankees at 86.2. So if you can shop that, maybe get a price that's better than what I could get. But it looks like the market's pretty good on both of these series, Gil. So again, and one of the things that's really cool about kind of being where we're at, because I remember talking about this, and you maybe had one, two, possibly three outlets back when we first started. Now you've got just a myriad of different outlets. And I know you had a guy, and I hope they can pull this off, these exchange guys, because I'm really looking forward to that. I hope we can get some backing. And I think that if you're, you know, a player that's been around for a while, like we have, Gil, seeing the ability for people to come into the market and have these competitive exchanges is exciting.
Yeah, you're referring to Dean Sisson from ProfitX and Alex Kane from SportTrade. Both have been kind enough to come on this show. Yeah, SportTrade, I think Profit more of a by the book exchange at this point, but obviously that's not the entire case for SportTrade, where they're still able to act that way in certain jurisdictions, to my understanding. Real quick, because I know somebody on Twitter, at least one or two people on Twitter, are going to say, how does this guy who is this immersed in baseball analytics, how is he able to know of a 1985 R&B smash of Michael McDonald and James Ingram? How do you explain yourself that you know Ray J and Jethro Tull and all this? How do you take all that in? When do you take it in?
I think it's just because I've been around you so long, Gil. People don't know this about you, but I bet you might have had Ray J in your studio, or maybe James Ingram. Maybe you need to go back.
I've met James Ingram. I have not met Ray J. I have not been so honored to have met Ray J. Sorry,
it's quite an honor.
It's quite an honor.
You know the voice of sports betting, which everybody probably knows you as right now. He used to be the voice of like R&B, like slow jams. Did you do some of that stuff?
Way to turn this question around, Mark. Let me ask you this in closing here. Of all these teams in the postseason, who has disappointed you the most? Is it the Padres? Did you have the most riding on them?
Oh, personally, yes, I did. And I think that I would do it again, Gil. You know, sometimes you look and you're like, well, they didn't get it done. But you know, hats off to that Dodger bullpen. It was just amazing in that series, and then really kind of defied gravity, if you will, Gil. So, you know, sometimes you have to say, hey, I'm not going to win every bet that I make, right?
100% for sure. And what does your gut tell you right now then? Like, who's in the World Series? I mean, obviously the Yankees have the decided advantage. Who do you think they meet? I assume you'll say Yankees here. Who do you feel wins this Dodgers-Mets series ultimately, and then who takes it all?
Yeah, I've got the Dodgers winning this series probably about 58% of the time, based on the simulations. And then right now, the Yankees are about even money for me to win the World Series. So if you can get better than even money on the Yankees, I would take that. They're looking good, Gil. Wow.
Yeah, they are, which surprises me because I didn't really expect it. You really have them over the Dodgers though at this? I guess because of the 2-0 lead that probably plays into it. Yeah,
it absolutely does. So there's that. You know,
what I say? Watch in the end, it'll be the Yankees and the Dodgers, Mets.
I hope
Guardians.
So. I'm rooting for that. That'll be classic, Gil.
As the Guardians still have something to say about it. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. We got NFL power rankings on the other side.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You know, since Mark Borchardt brought it up last segment, we should talk about some of the alternative ways of betting. SportTrade is one of those. If you're the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market, or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted, introducing SportTrade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. Minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. SportTrade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, and now Arizona. Coming to Virginia soon. Download SportTrade, use code VSIN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Skill Alexander, this is Kelly Pidlin. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Don Stillwell at Steely 0302. Hey, Gil. Aoi Ito plus 251 wins. Well done, sir. By the way, Gap Band 3, still their best. I think Don is right about Gap Band 3. Better than Gap Band 5.
Sure.
The numbers, guys. Do you get excited for Wednesdays when all the prop bets seem to be readily available? Are you spending a lot of time on these? Seemed like weeks 1-5 when up was down and left was right. Props were keeping this ship afloat. I do not, me personally, don't jump heavy into it? You, sir?
Great question. Yes, for prop bettors, Wednesday is always a day that people are looking out for because the big books start to post them usually. And you're going to get a lot of movement. That we know a lot of sharp guys that have been betting more and more props over the years. So big day for Wednesday. For us personally, we don't do as much with player props. If I do, it's usually... I usually have one or two player prop bets a week, Gil, but it's usually later in the week. Someone like Matt Brown or something will talk me into something, mm-hmm. right, that I think makes sense, but not usually something that I'm handicapping every single week.
You're too busy going 9-1 in millions.
That's right, man.
You ain't got no time for that.
Straight sides.
Nevada Azer, my two cents on NFL officiating. One, if they're swallowing the whistle in the playoffs, then there's no reason why they can't do the same for regular season games. I like this. Two, do away with illegal formation, offsetting, and fouls away from the play. MLB has become much easier to watch than the National Football League. That Jets-Bills game Monday night was probably the greatest, as good an example of just officiating being an intrusion on the football
game. One of the worst, I mean, you set this up yesterday pretty well, but I was one of the worst that I can remember in a long time of officials getting in the way of a game. I will say, though, it was I don't have the numbers, but it feels like they've been letting them play a little bit more this year. But man, there were several calls in that game alone, Gil, that I saw over on Sunday not get called.
It's a tough thing, too, because a foul is a foul, right? So you also don't want it to be a game where they just like look the other way on stuff. So it's tough. I mean, the refs have a job also. And if both teams are violating the rules, I don't know what the solution is. Maybe there is a rule. Maybe it is an illegal formation. Maybe there's something that they have to sort of do away with. Like in tennis, for instance, I'll give you the tennis equivalent. How do you move a tennis game along? Are replayed, right? And some people believe that they should start playing the major tours like they do the lesser tours and like college and high school, whatever, and just play lets just so the game keeps going.
Right.
So maybe there's an NFL equivalent to that.
The one that's driving me nuts is the pass interference. I think I was telling you this off the air yesterday. I don't think I was talking about it on the air, but I've noticed so many times this year defensive backs getting away with like pinning one of the receiver's arms down. Mm-hmm. And the officials don't throw a flag, nor do they say, hey, it was hand fighting or anything like that. But it's pretty obvious that the defensive back is purposely holding an arm back from the receiver. And then we saw that called on Monday night. And I'm like, oh, we're calling it in this game.
Well, I mean, that's an art to like kind of conceal it, too. Right? Same thing with the receivers pushing off. Right. You can't extend the arm. You try to do it a little more subtly.
And to the refs defense here, all about the angle of which they see it at.
Of course,
right.
Of course. Blue Hen Bill, a lot of teaser love in my world. I went 12-0, he says, hitting 3 5 team teasers this week. Ooh. For sure, not the norm, though. LOL, love your show. Love the Megapod. Thank you, Blue Hen Bill, and congratulations to you. You are the teaser buster. A Brown at Down in Jungleland. He says, respect level for Borchard was full on roller coaster, crashing after referring to the incomparable Harry Callis as Alex Karras, but climbed right back up referring to Yamamoto as Yamo Be There. Never know what he's got on his mind. Oh, what he's got his mind on, or what's on his mind. Oh, wait. Yes. What I think he means mind on his money, and his money on his mind is what he's playing off of. And let's see.
I was also thinking like Eric Karros when he was bringing up those names. Yeah.
Felica, Will, and I totally don't spend hours doing that kind of thing on text. Again, reason number one, women will never understand guys, that we are endlessly entertained by that kind of name play. James Sott, we need a segment where Kelly has to guess if the name is a tennis player or a movie character. Yes, we do need to do that as well.
Why movie character? I'm definitely way better with movie characters than tennis players, that's for sure.
I like how you immediately took offense. Why movie character? I'm great at that.
Did we bring up something about movie characters?
I don't know. Anyway, we always appreciate the feedback from everybody. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for NBA. It's not NBA. No, I was kidding. That's later. NFL Power Rankings. Plug it in. DC 101. Now, here's the thing. NBA, by the way, is going to be season win totals and futures, obviously, not Power Rankings later. But NFL Power Rankings, not a whole bunch of movement here, man.
I was interested to see how much movement you were going to have and I was going to have.
Okay, already this is, there we go. That's what I'm looking for. Okay, so look how little movement I got. So the Chiefs remain my number one heading into this weekend's game against the Niners, who I have at number two. But I don't think the Niners should only be 1-point favorite, so I bet the Niners. The Ravens stay at number three after their win over Washington. Lions stay at number four after their destruction of the Cowboys. The only shuffle I did was I sort of messed around with 5, 6, and 7. Packers to me are 5. Vikings and Texans by default then just go down to 6 and 7. That's really the only movement because the Bills stay at 8 after their win over the Jets. The Commodes stay at 9. No shame in losing to the Ravens. The only real movement is the Bucks are now my 10.
Which I love because they're not in my top 10. They're probably number 11 for me.
The thing about the Bucks is they should be 5-1. I don't know how they lost that game to Atlanta, right? That was the game they should never have lost. So if they're 5-1, I think people think of them a whole bunch differently.
Yeah.
They earn that because they've also beaten good teams in doing so. So they're absolutely, they crack in there basically because I don't know who else I would put in there. The Seahawks are kind of drifting on the outside of that, looking in. Philly's right on the outside of that, looking in. Those are my top 10, and there's not a whole bunch of movement from last week to this week.
Yeah, I think interesting how we sorted these. Actually, after I saw you send yours in, it was Chrissy's old line, right? I like your line better. They're our own power rankings, and somehow after you sent yours in, I'm like, I think I kind of like Gil's power rankings better, or they make more sense. I don't know how I don't have the Bucks in the top 10. I just couldn't make room for them. But, you know, I still have my Eagles love that I'm holding on to, so that's where this comes into play. Not much of a change at the top for me. Chiefs 1, 49ers 2. I think you broke that down well, though. You and I are both on the Niners this week. But, you know, we're out to, 1.5 in that game? I'm also not going to get angry at anybody who wants to tease up Patrick Mahomes to +7.5. But, yeah, you and I are both on the Niners. So they're 2 for now. We'll see what happens next week. Lions and Ravens, you and I have flipped. But that is like 3A, 3B for me. I think those two teams are extremely impressive. It would not be shocked at all if we see them in NFC and AFC championship games. Texans, number 5. You know what I've said about that team, Gil. They're just going to keep right around that 5 and 6 area. I think them and the Bills until either one of these teams gets on a hot run, which I think is coming at some point. Vikings 7. Where did you have them at?
6.
6. Okay.
Cause, like, 6 or 7.
It's really hard, obviously, with them being undefeated to put them much worse than that.
I got Packers 5, and then I can't remember who I have. Texans, Vikings 6, 7. But okay. They're in there.
So, yeah, I went Packers after Vikings, but even like afterward, I'm like, I actually think the Packers are probably a better team than number 8 right now. Like I said, the Bucks, it feels almost wrong to not have in my top 10, but I don't. I have Eagles 9 and Commanders 10 because I wasn't going to kick the Commanders out. I was considering moving the Bucks up to number 10 and Commanders would be kind of just on the outside looking in. But man, I know we talked about it on Monday. That loss against the Ravens, like there was still so many impressive moments by Jaden Daniels that they're number 10 right there.
It's just that you can't put them any higher than that because the defense is awful.
Yes.
Right. So this is the interesting thing about these power rankings is it took 5 weeks based on the fact that we didn't really move them much this past week. It took 5 weeks for these to really sort of solidify into where they ought to be. Maybe even 4 weeks, to be honest with you. It didn't take that long to purge the Cowboys aren't very good. The Eagles are good, but they're not that good. The Seahawks are good, but even when they were 3-0, we kind of knew it was a little bit fugazi against their competition. So New Orleans had their moment, but now they don't even have a starting quarterback, right? Their original starting quarterback, it's Spencer Rattler, so it's not really fair. Atlanta's a team we haven't really brought up. They're kind of on the outside looking in of this as well. But it's the point being is that you kind of know the Bills are at a certain level, right? The Commodores are at a certain level. I think those top 4 teams are pretty much solidified whatever order you want. Chiefs, Niners, Lions, Ravens. I don't know that there's a lot of disagreement. Now, Aaron Schatz with his DVOA, there are some disagreements. Mm-hmm. But
and Pro Football Focus too, yeah.
Yeah. Not as
you know what we're doing next week? Top 20. Because you're right, the middle range teams are interesting.
Should we do top 10? Or should we do top 20? Or should we do top 10 and bottom 10?
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are super pumped about this. The NBA betting guide is out. Basketball season 6 days away. And JVT, Adam Burke, Zach Cohen, Kelly Bidlin, Everybody's saying Zach and JVT worked the hardest on this. They can fight it out themselves. Mm-hmm. But the NBA betting guide is available. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as little as $9.99 for your first month. Get our all-new NBA betting guide featuring previews and power ratings on all 30 teams, best bets and futures from the VSiN experts, player prop, and live betting strategies, plus senior NBA analyst JVT's favorite title bets. Give yourself an edge this season. Get our NBA betting guide along with access to all of our valuable betting tools across all sports for just $9.99 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. And normally in this spot, Kelly, we've been doing adjusted NFL season win totals, but because in honor of that, not only the betting guide, but of course the beginning of the NBA season 6 days away, let's do some NBA pre-flop season win totals. All, of course, brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Morgan & Morgan, hard hiring. It is hard, rather, hiring. But Morgan & Morgan makes it easy. If you're ever injured, you can check out Morgan & Morgan.
Are the guys looking over or under?
America's largest injury law firm. Wednesday on a numbers game. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Submitting an injury claim with Morgan & Morgan is so easy. If you're ever injured, you can check out Morgan & Morgan. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets or pound law, pound 529 from your cell. This is a paid advertisement. And as if he was just lurking about, our senior NBA analyst, Jonathan Von Tobel, joins us now to talk about season win totals in the NBA. JVT, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, guys. I'm fired up. We, like you said, less than a week away before a ball hits court. I know we got preseason, but man, I can't wait for the real thing.
All right, I mentioned this earlier. Celtics are at the top. I believe it's 58.5 wins. The Brooklyn Nets are at the bottom, 19.5. Just generally speaking, before you get to your specifics, do you usually live on the fringes of a market like this, or are you usually somewhere in the middle? Or can we not make a generalization?
Yeah, I think it's hard to make a generalization, but I will say I do abide by the thought that, like, and you know this, right? Like, when it comes to projections, actual statistical projections are a lot more scrunched together, and then win totals are a lot more spread out because, of course, you have to factor in liability and whatnot, and general bettors are going to think the good teams are really good and the bad teams really bad. But I tend to fall a little bit in the middle when it comes to some of these. But some of my win totals this year are on the extremes. I will say that. You know, I've got some unders on some of the teams near the top with the win totals of 50. I've got an over on a team with a very high win total in Oklahoma City. I do have under on Washington as part of my whole portfolio. I know we're going to go over some different ones. But this year, I did live a little bit more on the edges so far this season.
I think it's a great question, Gil, because I would say NBA, unlike other sports, I do intentionally kind of go and look at the middle group first because I think there's so much value in playing the alt win totals, and you're going to find more in that range where you could have a team that, you know, far exceeds going over or under if they're more in that middle. Like JVT said, though, I didn't end up playing as many of those this year. I didn't find as many that I loved right there in that middle.
Yeah, the reason I asked that is because in baseball, I definitely did get to a time. I never used to live on the fringes. And then we got a couple years ago because the haves and the have-nots
right.
grew, you know, the chasm grew. And then I'm like, oh, Dodgers over and teams at the bottom were still, like, you know, not low enough kind of thing. All right, let's start with one of the ones you mentioned there, or whichever way you want to start. You did mention some already. Please have at it. What's one of your favorites?
For me, so we'll start with the one that I like the most, and we'll go with the Denver Nuggets. And that's one of the ones that I mentioned kind of near the top, right? You're talking about a win total of around 51.5. I went under 51.5 wins for the Nuggets. I think there's a couple of things that really don't bode particularly well for Denver. First off, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is gone. This is a team that was not taking a lot of three-point attempts to begin with. KCP, one of their high-volume shooters, their high-volume shooter pretty much outside of Michael Porter Jr. is now gone, and you've got to fill that slot at shooting guard. And I don't think you have really anybody to fill that slot the way that KCP filled that slot. He was their primary perimeter defender. He was a great volume shooter. And Christian Brown and anybody else that is in contention for that spot, Julian Strother, really not going to get there. And I think when you look at it too, you've got some real questions. Remember, guys, last year in the minutes without Jokic on the floor, Denver, a negative 11.1 net rating. I think their bench has only gotten thinner. I don't think they're going to be able to handle those minutes just as well. I think that this is a team that is starting to take a little bit of a step back. They went on a 21-6 run to end last regular season, really making a push for that top seed. But I think given the strength of the Western Conference and the status of this roster at this point right now and the pieces that have left over the last 2 years, I think this is a team primed to go under that number of 51.5.
Nuggets under 51.5. have. Kelly, we want to go back and forth on this? You got one?
No, I'll let JVT run through his, but you know, I'll jump in with a couple comments. I agree with that one. That's the way I would lean as well. I think Jamal Murray, we were talking about, I know on text the other day, yep. JVT, I'm concerned. I think ever since a couple years ago after that ACL injury, it is a little, I just don't know that we're going to see him getting better at this point. So I think that's another point you're under.
Yep. Can we skip ahead, JVT, to one? Because I have my eyes on this. We'll skip the Hornets for a second. Warriors, over 43.5. Talk to me.
I like this team, man. I think that a lot of people freaked out, Gil, and saw, like, hey, look, like, Klay Thompson's gone. What's this team going to do? They were barely in the play-in. I like the additions that this team made, right? You add to your depth overall when you go and you get De'Anthony Melton, Buddy Hield, Kyle Anderson, Hield being a one-to-one match for the loss of Klay Thompson. De'Anthony Melton, I believe, being an upgrade over Chris Paul, who had one of his worst scoring seasons of his career. In fact, the worst shooting season and scoring season of his career. I think that this is going to be an upgrade at those two positions. You add depth to your wing spot with Kyle Anderson. Now, you want, obviously, Steph Curry to stay healthy. It's something that has plagued him a little bit more throughout the entirety of the back end of his career. But you've also got some really strong upside pieces young-wise, right? You got Pajemski. You've got Jonathan Kuminga, who's on the verge potentially of a breakout season. Draymond Green is still playing at an extremely high level defensively. I think this Warriors team is primed to go over this win total. I'm sneaky high on this squad. I don't think they're going to be, you know, among the best teams in the Western Conference, but I think this team can find itself inside this top six and win 45-ish games.
I like it. Let's go back to the Hornets. You have the Hornets not expected to be a good basketball team, but you think they are lined too low at 29.5.
Yeah, look, this is really dependent on LaMelo Ball being healthy, right? That is a very big if, but they are taking at least the necessary steps to take care of this. They're asking him to wear these ankle braces that is going to help the ankle issues that have plagued him throughout the last 2 years. Remember, last two seasons since that year that they won 43 games, you saw that he played, I think, like about 53 games or so. So I think when you look at the Hornets, with more availability from LaMelo Ball, a strong year from Brandon Miller, the additions they made, I like the head coach of Lee. I think this is a team that is primed to go over 29.5.
I can jump ahead real quick. I'll just say that is one that JVT and I share as one of our favorites. Yep. I think that they're Miles Bridges, I'm expecting to have a big year. JVT, I know a lot of people obviously have critiques of some of his off-the-court issues, but I think him with a second full year back, I think is going to be massive. You get Brandon Miller another year. I'm totally with you. I think that is a me, you, and Zach play all around, right? Yeah. Hardwood handicappers all on the over on the Hornets.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
We apologize for the ambient noise as well. I like what you've done with the Phoenix Suns here now. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You're high on the Suns, but rather than doing a sort of, you know, traditional season win total, I'm guessing you think there is a scenario where they are super duper good, and so you've played this differently.
Yeah, super duper good is the way to put it, man. I love the addition of Tyus Jones. I really like the fact that they went out and got Mike Budenholzer. We can quibble with the fact that I didn't really think Frank Vogel deserved to get fired, but regardless, I do think that Budenholzer is an upgrade. They have really turned it up to 11 in the preseason on the three-point shooting, Gil. So this team's really going to ask their guys who can shoot those threes to shoot even more. I think Bradley Beal, again, if you can get him healthy, only played about 53 games last year. You get him out there more frequently. Those three on the floor, one of the best lineups in the NBA when you got out there. And you add little pieces, depth wise that I think improve you, right? Mason Plumlee, a much better backup center option. Monty Morris on this bench as well. I think everything they did is going to improve this team greatly. And remember, they were still hitting that 49-win mark last year, and I think this team is better. So I think this squad can very much make a push for 55-plus wins. And like you mentioned, instead of just going out and betting a regular win total, went with the alt one at 7-1. Suns to win 55 or more games. I think they're perfectly capable of doing it.
I like it. Can we throw in a bonus here? Is there an awards market that you might like something in?
So I haven't jumped entirely into the awards market, but I did make one bet. We'll go to Houston. Alperen Şengün at 100-1 to win most improved player. He finished third in the award last year in terms of voting. But I think that when you look at him, what he did last year, the guy's been absolutely brilliant. He's going to be the focal point of this offense. He's adding a catch and shoot three to his repertoire, so maybe we'll see. And he's so much more different than the other centers on this roster that I don't think he's going to get caught up in that mix. So Alperen Şengün at 100-1 to win most improved player of the year.
Did you have him in some other market last year? Or the year before?
I did also bet him to win on most improved last year,
most improved
last
year, too.
So I think it was 14-1, somewhere in that range. So
yeah, I like, though, the fact that the NBA, it's literal, right? Most improved.
Yes.
So we don't have this confusion that we do in the National Football League with comeback player of the year. Do we define it as most improved? And obviously, they're trying to define it.
Well, don't get JVT started though, because he doesn't like the second year players somehow.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
That's right.
I'll get very upset about this. But yeah,
JVT does not like he does not believe that a player in his second year should be considered for most improved. Correct. That's it.
No, I believe he should.
Oh, you believe he should be?
Yes. Okay. Yes. But you can't. For some reason, you can't be improved first to second. It's somehow it's expected, and yet when you make massive jumps, see again. I'm just gonna get mad. So no. I very upset. Man.
Who wins the whole thing this year, John?
I'm going to go. It's hard to, I think, between my two loves, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Boston Celtics. So I'll just say Thunder because I really love the way that team is constructed.
Not mentioned in this segment, the Los Angeles Clippers, everybody. JVT breaking a streak. Well done.
Top 10 defense, I'll tell you that much.
There you go. You got one in.
Yep.
Thank you, John. At me, thanks, JVT. Justin Season wins courtesy of Morgan & Morgan and John, courtesy of Progressive Guest Line right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll talk teasers on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.